Peer, this is a rehearsal read of the speaker's script for your IP8999 executive presentation to Plurilock, rebuilt against DEC version 5, dated July 15th. The live session is Thursday, July 23rd. Before the script itself, a short walk through what changed and why, because the DEC you're about to hear is two rounds of revision away from the one you submitted. Round 1 was the faculty round. Stoltz and Latham returned 9 comments on the July 13th submission, typed directly into the slide bodies rather than left as balloons, which means applying them meant deleting the grader's own words off your slides. Version 2 answered all 9. The big one, and the only comment both graders made independently, was the scoring table. It showed all 30 opportunities when the assignment asked for only the 8 you actually present. Stoltz wanted a 1-to-1 correspondence, and he got it. The other 5 were surgical. The supplier and partner so, what had a dangling subject, so Stoltz asked inclusion of what? And named the antecedent for you. He also queried the word experience, which became expect, because what customers expect is a standard, and what they experience is just an outcome. The workforce capability so, what had a trailing clause where staff engage, parsed as staff choosing to engage rather than Plurilock engaging staff reactively, so that clause is gone. The strategic initiative so, what opened with a value free, as a result preamble and leaned on in one place to do metaphorical work, so it was rewritten consequence first. And on enterprise risk, Latham asked whether you had hard data behind the claim that significant threats are recognized late or handled inconsistently. You didn't. The fix there was subtraction, not addition. The claim is simply gone. Worth noting the 2 comments that weren't defects at all. Stoltz wrote, improved so what statement compared with final report, twice, on 1.1 and 2.3. Those 2 so what's are protected. 1.1 is byte for byte identical today, and 2.3 lost exactly 1 word. Round 2 is versions 3 through 5, and this is the interesting part. Version 2 answered what faculty wrote. Versions 3 to 5 answer what those comments were symptoms of. The internal review went looking for the same defect classes on the slides faculty hadn't marked and found them. You were assessing alignment and integration on all 6 strengths, but learning on only 1, which is 3 criteria, not 4. So a learning assessment went on to 5 more strengths. Only 3 of 8 reference blocks carried the design resource framing. The other 5 summarized what the article said, which is exactly the move Latham has objected to roughly 8 times across the 3 reports, and 3 of those 5 were ones he'd flagged by name. All 8 are reframed now, and the blocks lost 56 words in the process. The 4.2, so what was a preamble plus 3 consequences plus a trailing addendum? It is now 1 sentence. The 5.5, so what that version 2 fixed was itself broken, promising to correct course, while the initiative is still recoverable, after saying it was too late, so version 5 fixed the fix. The word, essentially, came out of 2.3, and that is the only word that moved on that slide, because Stoltz praised it and you don't touch what the grader liked. The scoring got rederived from scratch, because 7 of 8 benefit scores were 2.5, which discriminates nothing and left the just do it quadrant empty. 3 cells moved. The matrix now has 6 plot locations instead of 4, and the path forward pros that claimed 2 opportunities were high benefit and low cost is corrected. Only 4.2 is. There is 1 new slide, a causal map for 4.2, redrawn from the Abernethy figure you already cite, using Plurilock's own measures. 59 slides now. And 2 late catches worth remembering. You personally caught that the matrix image on slide 25 was still showing version 2's plot, because a PowerPoint file embeds its own copy of every picture, and regenerating the file on disk did nothing. And 15 appendix twins had the same bold run defect you'd already fixed by hand in the body. 1 thing to listen for. The last run through timed at roughly 28 minutes against faculty's 20 to 25 minute guidance. This script is cut to land inside that window. As you listen, note anything that feels flat, any transition that needs work, and any speaker handoff that feels awkward. Here we go. Good afternoon, and thank you all for making time for this. My name is Pierce again. Alongside me are Martin Baker, Zwing Nguyen, and Jason Valiant Saunders. Together, we are Team A in the University of Fredericton's Executive M, via Capstone, the Enterprise Integration Project. Over the last 14 weeks, Plurilock has been the organization we've had the privilege to study, and today is where we hand back what we learned. Before anything else, Manuel, Dave, Ian, Vera, and Andy, thank you for the depth of access you gave us. 5 interviews, dozens of documents, and honest conversations about what works and what doesn't. That openness is what made a real diagnosis possible. Here is how the next 25 minutes go. We'll introduce the team and the framework. We'll walk the findings, one strength, and the priority opportunities for each of the 6 categories. We'll show a suggested path forward. Then we open it up for questions, which is where we hope most of the value of this session lives. The 4 of us come into this program from different lanes. Martin brings operations and workforce systems. Zui brings an engineering and measurement mindset. Jason is a delivery lead inside Plurilock, and his role on our team has been to keep us honest about what the artifacts actually mean in practice. My own lane is strategy and product. That combination gave us 4 different sets of eyes on the same systems and a habit of arguing until the diagnosis held up under all 4. The numbers behind today: 14 weeks, 127 documents reviewed, 5 stakeholder interviews, and 3 intermediate reports submitted and returned with faculty feedback. What you see today is the integrated read across all 6 categories, not a repeat of any single report. One word on the framework, because it shapes everything that follows. We assessed Plurilock against 6 categories: customers and products, operations and production, workforce measurement and analysis, strategic leadership and governance. Each carries 5 diagnostic questions, 30 in total. The questions are non-prescriptive. They ask how Plurilock does something, not what the answer should look like. For every question, we assess the design of the method against 4 criteria. Is it systematic? Does it learn and improve? Is it aligned with strategy and culture? Is it integrated with the systems that depend on it? We assess the design of the methods, not the outputs. That distinction matters. 99% customer satisfaction is not evidence of a strong system if it depends on individual talent rather than repeatable process. We stayed disciplined about that throughout. That's the frame. Now the findings. For each category, 1 flagship strength and the priority opportunities. There are more of both in the full report, and every one of the 30 opportunities has its own slide in the appendix if you want to go deeper during Q and A category 1, customers and products. The flagship strength is question 1.2. Plurilock has a systematic, repeatable approach to translating customer cybersecurity requirements into tailored service offerings. It runs on standardized intake questionnaires, statements of work, service blueprints, level of effort estimates, and phased project plans. It is aligned with the services-led, product-enabled positioning and integrated across sales intake, delivery leadership, technical experts, and partner roadmaps, so new offerings get assembled from existing components. Learning is not systematic. The offering library evolves through use, without a version-controlled review cycle feeding refinements back into the questionnaires, blueprints, and pricing templates. Even so, this integration is what lets you turn an emerging regulatory or partner-driven requirement into a priced, scoped engagement quickly, and it is the capability most worth preserving in any future redesign of the delivery model. The priority opportunity is question 1.1. Plurilock does not have a systematic approach to identifying its customer segments by their differing requirements or to defining the listening methods used for each. Because segment choices depend on individual sellers, leadership cannot decide which regulated markets warrant dedicated value propositions or where to direct service line investment across the Aurora East, Aurora West, and Integra operating units. As design resources, Maura Cortez and colleagues in 2021 provide a 4 activity business-to-business segmentation process, a resource for defining segments by their differing requirements and a listening method for each. Integrated Project Management Company illustrates a professional services firm that periodically reassesses which segments to pursue. Zui picks up here. Category 2, operations and production. The flagship strength is question 2.1, a systematic approach to planning and organizing delivery. Every engagement gets a project manager, and the work runs through standardized level of effort and work breakdown structures, statements of work, phased plans, a responsibility accountability matrix, and a service blueprint carrying a timeline, effort matrix, reference architecture, and risk register. It is aligned with the strategy of responsive, rapid service deployment and integrated with upstream sales intake and the delivery lead who owns downstream execution. Learning is not systematic. Postmortems occur, but they are informal, and no defined loop feeds engagement lessons back into the planning artifacts. This planning discipline is what allows the firm to scope, price, and mobilize quickly, and it is the operational capability most worth preserving as the firm scales. Two priority opportunities here. First, question 2.2. Plurilock does not have a systematic approach to identifying and selecting its suppliers and technology partners. Because suppliers and technology partners are selected through sales-led sponsorship rather than against defined criteria, Plurilock cannot ensure that the third-party products and services embedded in its delivery meet the quality its customers expect. Monchka and colleagues in 1998 provide a framework of success factors for strategic supplier alliances, a resource for designing how partners are evaluated and managed. Stellar Solutions illustrates a professional services firm that decides which work to source externally against defined criteria. Second, question 2.3. No systematic approach to in-process measurement of delivery operations. With on-time delivery as the only in-process signal, quality drift goes undetected while an engagement is still correctable, limiting the firm's ability to proactively manage delivery and raising the likelihood of dissatisfied customers. Neely and colleagues in 2005 define a performance measurement system as the metrics that quantify an organization's efficiency and effectiveness, a resource for measuring delivery at the process level rather than through outcomes alone. Stellar Solutions illustrates a professional services firm that defines in-process measures inside its work processes. Martin picks up here. Category 3, workforce. The flagship strength is question 3.5, a systematic approach to measuring workforce turnover, retention, and individual performance. The human resources dashboard tracks tenure, turnover cycle, and consultant to employee conversion, and segments departures by reason, type, and length of service, alongside weighted individual scorecards tying 70% of each rating to business results. It aligns individual performance with enterprise financial outcomes and integrates workforce data into executive reviews. And it learns. A turnover analysis identified instability in procurement and led to a reallocation of workload. That connection between workforce measurement and executive decision-making is what strengthens your ability to spot and respond to emerging workforce risks. Two priority opportunities. Question 3.1. Plurilock does not have a systematic approach to identifying workforce capability requirements or forecasting capacity. Because Plurilock adds people only as engagements arrive, it cannot align its workforce capabilities and numbers with the delivery-heavy critical services shift it is deliberately making. Yort and colleagues, in 2019, provide a strategic workforce planning model built for consultancies, a resource for connecting anticipated demand to the size and composition of the future delivery workforce. Stellar Solutions illustrates planned surge capacity through a standing pool of experienced part-time advisors. Question 3.2, no systematic approach to attracting and recruiting talent. Because access to scarce cybersecurity talent rests on the personal networks of Plurilock's own department heads and its staffing agencies, that access disappears when those people move on, leaving the delivery model's core input unreliable. Wilden and colleagues in 2010 provide an employer signaling framework, a resource for shaping the clarity, credibility, and consistency of what Plurilock presents to prospective candidates. Integrated Project Management Company illustrates a defined recruiting program that identifies required skills at the requisition stage and evaluates candidates against the firm's culture. Zui picks up here. Category 4, Measurement and Analysis. The flagship strength is question 4.5, a systematic approach to managing short-term liquidity and long-term capital decisions. A 13-week cash runway process supported by daily treasury management, weekly receivable and payable reviews, live treasury dashboards, defined hurdle rates, sensitivity and scenario analyses, independent banker reviews, and a standardized acquisition due diligence checklist. It learns through semi-annual budget revisions and post-acquisition cost reviews that refine future assumptions. It aligns with the profitability, cash runway, and growth objectives, and integrates with board-approved capital planning and acquisition decisions. This is the system that gives the firm the financial stability to execute a long-term growth strategy. The priority opportunity is question 4.2. Plurilock does not have a systematic approach to analyzing performance measures as an interconnected system that explains how workforce, operational, customer, and financial results drive one another. The assumptions behind Plurilock's path to profitability remain untested. Abernethy and colleagues in 2005 provide a method for constructing causal performance maps from the operating knowledge managers already hold, a resource for modeling those relationships. Stellar Solutions illustrates a professional services firm that reads its measures in relation to one another rather than in isolation. We've put an illustrative map in the appendix, drawn with your own measures and marking which links you measure today. It is illustrative on purpose. The real map is yours to build. Martin picks up for categories 5 and 6. Category 5, Strategic Leadership. The flagship strength is question 5.4, a systematic approach to identifying, evaluating, and approving acquisition-based strategic initiatives. Opportunities get screened against defined growth criteria, evaluated through a standardized 30-item due diligence process, and approved by the board before execution. It has been applied consistently across completed acquisitions and a divestiture, which is repeatable decision-making rather than case-by-case judgment, and it integrates with the capital investment process and with governance oversight. Learning is not systematic. The screening criteria and the due diligence process are not themselves evaluated or refined after each acquisition. The priority opportunity is question 5.5. No systematic approach to measuring, tracking, and managing strategic initiatives for on time, on budget, and in scope completion. Leadership learns of slippage in schedule, scope, or budget after it has already affected the initiative, when the room to correct course has narrowed. Meskindahl in 2010 frames project portfolio management as the discipline connecting strategy to delivery, a resource for designing cross-functional initiative tracking. Stellar Solutions illustrates a cadenced review system that tracks performance against the strategic plan. Category 6, Governance. The flagship strength is question 6.1, a systematic approach to proactive and reactive legal, ethical, and regulatory compliance. Proactive controls embed technical mechanisms inside finance, sales, information technology, and operational systems of record, with real-time alerts on high-risk transactions, standardized multi-jurisdiction legal templates with exception tracking, and mandatory training. Reactive controls pair a published whistleblower program with prompt investigation and resolution. It aligns with the regulated public sector market and the SOCH 2 Type 2 commitments, and integrates with board governance through the audit committee charter. Learning is not systematic. The code of conduct and the insider trading policy have been unchanged since 2020, with no defined cycle for reviewing them. The priority opportunity is question 6.4. No systematic approach to enterprise risk guidance and oversight. Because risk oversight runs on management judgment and informal escalation rather than a defined process, the board cannot rely on a consistent view of the enterprise risks it is accountable for. Gordon, Loeb, and Tseng in 2009 provide a contingency framework for enterprise risk management matched to firm size and complexity, a resource well-suited to Plurilock scale. Integrated Project Management Company illustrates a services firm that embeds risk assessment in planning and escalates significant risks for executive review. Peer picks up for the path forward. What follows is our suggested reading of what to do first. We don't prescribe solutions, so what you'll see is two lenses on the opportunities, not a plan. This table shows the 8 opportunities we just presented in question code order, each with a rough cost and a rough benefit estimate on a 1-3 scale. These are rough estimates, and this is not a priority ranking. It's the input that lets us plot them. Here's the concept we borrowed. 4 quadrants. High benefit, low cost is the just do it quadrant. High benefit, high cost is worth doing, but it needs investment and sequencing. Low benefit and low cost is worth considering. Low benefit and high cost is not worth it. The goal isn't to sort every opportunity, it's to make the shape of the choice visible. Here are the eight plotted. One lands cleanly in the Just Do It quadrant, interconnected performance analysis in category 4. High benefit, low cost. Supplier and partner selection is the cheapest thing on the board. Workforce capability and capacity is the highest benefit item, at the cost of being the most demanding to build. Here's our suggested sequence for roughly the next year, grounded in that matrix and in the dependencies between opportunities. Some lower scoring items come earlier because they are prerequisites for later work. Start with the Just Do It item, interconnected performance analysis. Supplier and partner selection costs the least, so it can run alongside. Then build the measurement foundation the later work depends on, customer segmentation, and in-process delivery measurement. Neither is expensive, and both make the harder investments actionable rather than speculative. Next, invest in the higher cost, high benefit capabilities behind the delivery-heavy shift you're deliberately making, workforce capability and capacity, and talent attraction and recruiting. These take longer and cost more, and they're the ones that match the workforce to where the strategy is going. In parallel with all of it, strengthen enterprise oversight, strategic initiative tracking, and enterprise risk oversight. Neither should wait for the operational work to finish. They compound the value of everything else. We want to be explicit that this is a suggested reading. Plurilock knows its own context better than we do. The sequencing is a starting point for conversation, not a plan we're handing you. That's the substance. One last thanks before we open up. Manuel, Dave, Ian, Vera, and Andy. 5 hours of interviews, dozens of documents, and honest answers to questions that are not always comfortable to answer. That access is what made the diagnosis possible, and it's what will make the next half hour useful rather than theoretical. Faculty told us the Q&A is usually the most interesting part of these sessions, and we built the deck for it. Every one of the 30 opportunities has its own slide in the appendix, with the underlying question, the gap, the consequence, and the design resources. If you want to go deeper on any of them, we'll pull it up and go from there. Questions.